50 years makes a difference. And I want to say how wonderful it is for this young man to be here. Give him a hand this morning. Oh. I was young. But now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We graduated from the same school. And Fran and I are going back for the renaming of Malone College to Malone University. We're the guests of the college president for the 50th anniversary of the founding of Malone College in Canton, Ohio. And we're going there the 1st of October. And we're looking forward to that. And I ask him to pray for me. Is that all right? Thank you, Nathan.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and this wonderful time, and we thank you for Eugene and Fran and their ministry and their lives that they have given to you, Lord, for so long. And I just ask that you would bless Eugene today as he brings the message, as your messenger, Lord, that you would just light his words on fire, and that the message that you give him would pierce our hearts, Lord, and that we would truly see your wonderful presence here this morning, and that may not one word that you lay on his heart not be spoken, Lord. Bless this man and give him strength, and bless this day for all those who have come. Amen.
I just have one wish. I'd like to stand and pray for you on your 50th. One more time, one more time. Lord, I ask for your anointing one more time. For I want your grace to show and the world your word to know. So I ask for your anointing one more time. I wrote that song in Trinidad when we were holding revivals there for 8 weeks. And God anointed that song. I would meet with the pastors before the service. And I'd always pray, Lord, if I never get to preach again, would you just anoint me one more time tonight? Never thinking I'd sing. And I sang the song, in his time, God makes all things beautiful in his time. I sang two verses, and I just began to sing that. Never thought about it. It just came. And that's my desire, that for I want his grace to show and the world his word to know. That's why you asked for the anointing. And the touch of God and the anointing of God is the greatest blessing that you can have. I can tell you something. It's different when you're not full-time pastor. Some of that anointing leaves you. I'm serious. And it's nothing in the world like the anointing of God. You wonder why preachers preach so long. Because when the anointing of God is on you, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave that presence. We used to sing a song at Mason City every Sunday morning, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. The Bible says in His presence, there's fullness of joy. I'm not going to preach long, I promise you, I think. Why did she talk about promises this morning? Well, I'll tell Nathan something that, remember this 50 years from now. There's one advantage of getting old. You get by with a little bit more. Oh, they'll say, oh, he's senile. Or he's forgetful. But let me read a passage from the Word of God. Psalm 42. And I'm going to tell you, I was sitting at a funeral for a missionary who went to Riversest, Liberia. She went there. There was nothing. She was a single lady. And she went back in the bush of Liberia and founded a church, a school, a hospital. And I was at her funeral. She had gone back a year before. And you remember what happened in Liberia? It was absolutely devastated. The people were killed, slaughtered. Every building was destroyed except Mama's home. Even the soldiers wouldn't touch Mama's home. They had that much respect for that lady. And the district director of the church read this passage of Scripture. And sitting at that funeral, I said, that's my heart. Turn with me to Psalm 42. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I want to talk to you today about the God of my life. For the past 54 years, I have served the God of my life with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, being directed by the first verse of Scripture I ever learned. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I learned that verse on July the 7th, 1954, bowing at an altar at Wakefield Camp Meeting, receiving what friends used to call sanctification. Is there anybody here old enough to remember the word sanctification? Holiness? Boy, we don't talk about that anymore. But that was a friend's message. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along. One preacher was, you know, Uncle Buddy was preaching. And he lit, you know, he lit real bad when he preached. And somebody said, Uncle Buddy said, I never seen nobody like you. He said, everywhere you preach on holiness. He said, you find holiness even where it ain't. He said, well, bless God, if I can find it where it ain't, you ought to be able to find it where it is. Holiness. Holiness. Living a life of holiness. This is something I learned a long time ago. And this is a part of the God I serve, the God of my life. If you take care of the things that are dear to God, God will take care of the things that are dear to you. And I found out, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is able to do
exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. There is no good thing that he will withhold from those that love him. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'm telling you this morning, it works. It works. Yes, I've been sick, but God hasn't changed. I can't breathe very good, but I got the breath of the Holy Ghost in me this morning. It said, and God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. That's better than air that you breathe, the breath of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you don't have that breath, you need something better than oxygen. You need the Lord. Good preaching, Brother Wolfley. Amen. I don't need you to amen me. I'll amen myself. It's like Uncle Buddy. They ask him, do you believe in the doctrine of election? You know, the Baptists believe in election. Some elected to be saved and some elected to be lost. He said, let me think about that a minute. Well, yeah, I sure do. He said, you know something? God voted for me. He said, the devil voted against me. He said, I voted for myself, and I got in by 2/3 majority. I'm telling you something. I first must begin to tell you, if I'm talking about the God of my life, and I'm going to have to use this. If I'm going to talk about the God of my life, I've got to tell you who and what I mean by God. Amen? Very simple. I learned this years ago and used it at youth camp. Spell God. Who's bright enough here to spell God? G-O-D. He's the great, omnipotent deliverer. That's God in a nutshell. That's what God has been doing from the beginning of time. That's his message to the church. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I will deliver you. It began, I thought about this in terms of a whole host of people. And the Bible says, let my people go. The people of Israel were ready to cross the Jordan. And Moses touched and it was opened up and God delivered the children of Israel. 3 Hebrew children were in a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God delivered them. Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail and God delivered them. But turn with me to Psalm 34. Far more important to me than the deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Far more important to me than Paul and Silas. The Bible says, the God of my life delivered me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fear. This morning, can you say that? The God of my life has delivered me. Let me tell you something. He not only has delivered you, he is delivering you, and he will deliver you tomorrow. That's what the word means in the Greek word. That word means he delivered you, he is delivering you, and he will deliver you tomorrow. Thank God for his deliverance. I want to tell basically 4 stories, and I'm going to quit. Is that all right? Depends on how long they are, Brother Wolfley. First of all, I apologize for not thanking all of you for being here. I thank those who came from, everybody that came from out, not members of this church, stand up, that came especially for today. Oh, I thank you for coming. Give them a hand, will you? Oh, bless you. Bless you. And I have one other request. Everybody that was here on the first Sunday of September, 7th of September, and it happened to be the 7th in 1958, will you stand? People that were from Bangor. Thank you. I wasn't sure if it'd be about 20 here or not. But I especially want to thank Katie and Bess Halvick for being here this morning. I know Bess has been ill, and Kenny says he's getting tired. Well, I got tired yesterday, and I suspect I'll get retired again today. But I told Nathan, this is a wonderful church for a young man. Bess Halvick was chairman of the ministering council. Lord Davis was clerk of the meeting. And they guided me and just gave me free reins. And people like Ron and Shirley Settle, LJ and Neoma, faithful. Levi and Anna Lee and others in the church. People that just love God. And I remember two girls riding on their bicycle, going from house to house, handing out things that I would make up, and we were going to have rally day here. First Sunday of October of 1958. And I'd set a goal of 120. I'd given everybody, every Sunday school teacher, a list of names of people. I had a plat book. I knew everybody for 20 miles around. I'd gone to every house, knocked on every door, went to some doors and said, excuse me, I'll come back later when my wife is with me. She had a little less clothes on than I thought I should go in with. Listen, I guarded myself, let me tell you, when I was a young pastor, nobody was going to talk about me. Amen? Integrity is a good thing to have. Ethics is a good thing to have. Some people don't have that in their library anymore. But anyway, they thought, he's crazy. 120 going to come here to Bangor? We had 149 that Sunday morning. Amen. It can be done. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. How many like to have 149 in here every Sunday? Hey, there's enough people around here. Go get them. Sick them. Put some lipstick on that pit bull. So I thank you for coming. I thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. But these stories talk about the God of my life. Some of you have heard these, but I'm going to tell them again. The first story happened when I was in college. It changed my life. I didn't know Genesis from Revelation when I got saved. But I knew God had called me, went to school. And I went with a team down to the city square in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't know anything about the doctrines of the church. I went to school to learn. And a drunk came up to me, smelled like a pig pit. Dirty, bearded. And he said, "Hello, young man, can you?" Said, "Tell me, what do you know about the virgin birth?" I didn't know anything about it. I couldn't explain the virgin birth. I'm not sure I can do a very good job right now. But up there, just right across on a building right across from me, was a big flashing sign. It says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment." I said, "Sir, I can't explain to you about the virgin birth, but I know it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment." He said, "Well, tell me about the Trinity." Well, they talked about that. There's There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, he said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. He asked me to explain how Moses opened up the sea. I said, I don't know. It was God. But I know it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. He asked me 10 questions, and I gave him one answer. 2 weeks later, I went down with a gospel team to the city square. Nice-looking young man came up to me, well-dressed, hair combed, shaved, had some nice-smelling cologne on. He said, son, do you remember me? I said, sir, I don't think I've ever seen you before. He said, I was the drunk that tried to confuse you and said, when I left you, you haunted me day and night. All I could remember when I got up was, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And he said, I finally called my wife and went back to the Nazarene church that I pastored, and I've asked her to forgive me. And they've started process to give me some rehabilitation. But I want to thank you for being faithful to God. And he says, I'm sorry I tried to confuse you. Listen, the Bible works. The God of my life, I didn't know the answers, but my God did. Then the second thing that changed my life, probably as much as any other, was when 5 stalwart young men were killed in Quito, Ecuador. Missionaries, 5 of the most brilliant college graduates, men with doctorates, men that could set the world on fire, but they were killed in an instant by the Aucca Indians in Quito, Ecuador. And you could almost hear the gates of hell rejoicing. But I'll tell you something. For every one of those men that died, 5,000 young men and women stood up and said, I'll go and replace them. And I made a commitment that day in the college chapel, Lord, I can't do what those men did. I don't know the languages those men did. I don't have the skills that those men have. But I'll go and I'll give what I have. I will be one of those men to replace somebody. And then to top that off, I heard Dr. Oswald J. Smith speak in Vermilion, Ohio, and he said, why should any man hear the gospel twice until every creature has heard him once? And I thought, everybody ought to hear the gospel at least one time. And that's been the passion of my life. I would go Sunday nights and preach in the anywhere I could preach. The college professor had a Free Methodist church, and he let us preach. And I remember the first sermon I preached in that church, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I had served as a scrub nurse in Cleveland Clinic, and I'd worked on a femoral artery graft where they had cut the diseased femoral artery out and put in a graft. And I saw while on that hospital table that foot began to get color. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I preached. My wife was there. We weren't married then. She thought I was a little too graphic. But 5 people got saved that night. I wasn't going to quit giving the invitation to somebody. Got saved. And that just whetted my appetite. Sick 'em. And I just love it when people get saved. Don't you? Oh, the Bible says the angels of heaven rejoice over one. I love it when people get saved. That was a changing point in my life.